Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of From My Point of View. Another Wednesday, another episode. Let's get into it. But first, a quick RIP to Luke Perry. He passed away after suffering a massive stroke this past weekend, or he had a stroke about a week ago, and then this past weekend passed away from that stroke, 52, 53 years old. So, relatively young guy, and he was, for my generation, known as Mr. Andrews on Riverdale, but for a whole slew of other people, he was known as Dylan McKay from 90210, one of the OG bad boys of television, right up there, probably with Sean Wright. Was it Sean? Is it Sean Ryder? Or is that his real name? Sean from Boy Meets World is the first other dude that comes to mind. I don't know why, but he is, as far as 90 televisions go. But yeah, so RIP to Luke Perry. Interesting to see how they'll write off his character for Riverdale, because there most likely will be a season 4, even though season 3 is just an absolute train wreck of a season. I mean, oh my god, it has become so predictable and so outrageous. I don't know what they're doing with that show or where they're going, what direction they're going in after season 3, but I guess we'll see. So RIP Luke Perry. A lot of great things said about him over this past weekend and how he'll be remembered. So with that being said, a lot to talk about. The Combine was this past weekend. Since my last episode, I believe Bryce Harper signed his contract. It was last Monday that I did an episode with the Oscars. So we have Bryce Harper. We'll compare him with Manny Machado and all the reports that came about him. The Lakers are an absolute train wreck of a situation. Really, really bad. LeBron, doesn't look good for him. We get to talk about him. Nolan Arenado also signed an extension, and like I said, the NFL Combine, Kyler Murray, a couple other standouts, including DK Metcalf, the wide receiver from Ole Miss. I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right. It's Metcalf, so just Metcalf. I don't know. Hope it's right, because that's how I'm going to be saying it throughout the rest of the episode. Anyway, we'll start out with the biggest news, and that was Bryce Harper signing a 13-year, $330 million contract with the Philadelphia Phillies. Bryce's contract, as I said, 13 years, $330 million, no opt-out. So he's in it for the full 13 years and no trade clause. And he has a no trade clause, I should say. So the Phillies can't try and get rid of him, even if it turns out the contract is bad. He would have to approve it. Also, no team or player opt-out, which is, I mean, this contract is Looney Tunes. The most guaranteed money ever, $330 million. He is making less than Manny Machado is. Manny Machado signed a 10-year, $300 million contract. So Machado is making $30 million a year. Bryce Harper, the way his contract breaks down, this first year, he is making $10 million in salary with a $10 million signing bonus. So that totals to 20. And then I believe it's 26 for the first like 7 years, and then it goes down to 22 or 23, something like that. But for the first large chunk of his contract, he's making $26 million a year. So there is a little bit of wiggle room for the Phillies to go out and try and make moves. But still, the largest contract in MLB history, $330 million over the course of 13 years. A lot can happen in 13 years. A lot can happen in 13 years. You think about 13 years ago where we were now. Right? 2006? What was going on in 2006? Bush presidency. iPhones were just being introduced. The internet was just coming about. YouTube was only a year old. Right? You're thinking of that in that way. Lock and change in 13 years. And Bryce Harper will be a Philly. You think of all the kids. I saw a tweet. It was like, you can invite, if you, you can invite Bryce Harper's contract to a kid who just was just conceived to like their bar mitzvah or something like that. 13 years is a long time, man. It's a long, long, long time. And there will be a whole, pretty much a whole generation of kids who will grow up and they will know nothing but Bryce Harper being in a Philadelphia Phillies uniform. That's scary to think about. And the same, I mean, it's the same extent for Manny Machado, but he does have an opt-out option after year four, I believe it was. So he has the 10-year, $300 million. I have written down opt-out after year five, but it might be year four. So swinging back to Bryce Harper, there was a report on the table that the Dodgers offered him 4 years worth $45 million per year. $45 million per year over the course of 4 years. Now, Bryce obviously went with the $330 million guaranteed money over the course of 13 years. Apparently, he really loves Philadelphia. So, there you go. I mean, I don't know what drew him specifically to Philadelphia. It's most likely the fact that they offered him that monstrous contract that he literally couldn't say no. I mean, 4 years in L.A., $45 million a year. The taxes suck. So that is something to consider. But it's L.A. Philly's Philly. I don't know. It's a little weird that he decided to opt with Philly. And he's like all in on Philly now. He changed his number to 3 for, you know, 3 is obviously a big number in Philly because of Allen Iverson. And his jersey sales in the first 24 hours, I think it was, from him signing, the first 24 hours of jersey sales for Bryce Harper were the most in the span of, his jersey outsold LeBron when he signed with the Lakers in his first 24 hours of jersey sales. And someone quote tweeted it sarcastically, baseball is dying. It most certainly is not. People are definitely still buying Bryce Harper Philly jerseys. Now, after Machado and Harper signed, there was also this little gem, Nolan Arenado, who was due to become a free agent, I believe, after this upcoming year. He signed an 8-year, $260 million extension with an opt-out after 3 years. So, Arenado getting paid, and rightfully so. He's arguably the best third baseman in baseball, although now Manny Machado, who is, I mean, they're up there 1-2, Manny Machado, Nolan Arenado, as far as who is the best third baseman in Major League Baseball. Matt Chapman's up there too, but Matt Chapman doesn't put out the same offensive numbers that Manny Machado and Nolan Arenado do, so we'll just leave him out of it. Glove-wise, Matt Chapman, obviously, fantastic. Won the Platinum Glove this year. So, Manny Machado, Nolan Arenado, now they're both in the same division, which is going to be very exciting. But Arenado, getting paid, 100% worth it. He's won the Gold Glove. He's won the Platinum Glove, I think, twice. He's won a Gold Glove every year he's been in the league, which is 6, I believe. And 100% deserves it. He's putting up MVP numbers. If it wasn't for Christian Yelich and his ridiculous second half, I think Nolan Arenado had a chance to win, although Javier Baez still very up there as far as who would have won if it wasn't Christian Yelich. But MVP caliber player, a solid, solid rock at third base, catches anything within like 10 feet of him. Silver Slugger, hits for average, hits for power, gets on base. I mean, he's got it all. He's a five-tool player. So definitely well-deserved for Nolan Arenado to get that extension. But that's a lot of the baseball news that's been circulating so far. Spring training is upon us. Aaron Judge for my Yankees has already gone yard a couple times. He had a pretty gross one the other day where it was an inside-out swing. It looked like he got jammed, and he was still able to just muscle it out into center, left center or right center field. It was a pretty impressive home run. So a lot of baseball coming into play now. Quick shout out to my guy, Anthony Kay, Ward Melville alumni. He has been getting opportunities to pitch in spring training. Had a very impressive first outing. So hopefully my hometown community gets to see him rise up and at some point this year, hopefully, make a MLB appearance. If he doesn't this year, most certainly next year, he will get the call up. So good to see him, succeeding and trying to crack that MLB roster. I'll definitely be keeping a close eye. Me and hundreds of other people in this community will be keeping a close eye on his career journey. Also, quick shout out to my Hofstra Club baseball guys. Shout out to all you guys. And I know you guys moved down to D2, so hopefully you actually get some wins this year because we didn't get a whole bunch last year. All right, back on track. Basketball. LeBron James and the Lakers. They're someone I need to talk about because they are currently 13th, 12th in the Western Conference standings. They just lost to the Phoenix Suns. I think they have three losses in a row. They lost to the Bucks, they lost to the Phoenix Suns, which is inexcusable, and then they lost to the Clippers, which is, I mean, that's just as bad. You need to beat the Clippers because they're one of the teams in front of you. The Phoenix Suns is inexcusable. Although, shout out Phoenix. They had a great week. They beat the Lakers to potentially dash their playoff hopes in a must-win game for them. And then, the next game, they host the Milwaukee Bucks, the best team in the NBA, record-wise, and they beat them. They beat the Milwaukee Bucks. They swept the Milwaukee Bucks this year. They're 2-0. Jamal Crawford hit a buzzer beater in Milwaukee to beat them. And then they beat them very convincingly in Phoenix. And Kelly Oubre Jr. and Devin Booker had themselves a night. Off the top of my head, I couldn't remember what Devin Booker did, but what his stat line was, but he hit a couple big threes in the fourth quarter. And Kelly Oubre Jr., they showed his stat line at the end of the night. He was getting MVP chance when he was at the line. He had three blocks, a huge steal on Brook Lopez where he smacked it out of his hands and it went off Lopez's knee in the final seconds when the Bucks needed a three. Kelly Oubre Jr. got a clutch steal from Brook Lopez. He had, I think, three blocks, 26 points, 13 rebounds. He was phenomenal. It was unbelievable. I could not believe he was fantastic, Kelly Oubre Jr., as was Devin Booker, as was Tyler Johnson, as was DeAndre Ayton. They were all great. And that's what you like to see from the Suns. When they're at their very best, they have a lot of young talent on that team. And I think if they draft Ja Morant, that will solidify their point guard position. They have a great young cast there now. I would love to see them try and pick up a better power forward than, Dragan Bender or whoever else is trying to fulfill that power forward position. But they got Josh Jackson, who has greatly improved his three-point shot. Still would like to see him try and improve his slashing ability because he's such a dynamic athlete. So they got Josh Jackson improving. Devin Booker is a stud. Ja Morant, hopefully his game translates to the NBA and he can fulfill that point guard spot for them. And then Kelly Oubre Jr. is shining in Phoenix. Ever since he got traded from Washington, he has been showing great strides as far as, you know, he doesn't have that pressure on him. I feel like that he had that pressure in Washington. He's getting more minutes in Phoenix. He's the starting small forward where he was coming off the bench in Washington. He's a starting small forward in Phoenix. He's getting a lot more minutes, a lot more opportunities to score. And I think he's thriving. And DeAndre Ayton, he goes out there and gets you 20 and 10 pretty much every night. I don't think it's ever smart to draft, especially the way basketball is played now. I don't think it's smart to draft a center number one overall, but DeAndre Ayton by no means is a bust or a failure for the Phoenix Suns. He is a uberly talented young man. I digress. Back to the Lakers. They stink out loud. They are terrible. LeBron, there were some clips. I mean, LeBron one-on-one defense, he still plays very well, but he has been exposed over the past few weeks about how he just simply does not rotate or help defense at all. Just doesn't do it. And then he screams and points at his teammates, telling them what to do. It's a bad look. It's a bad look. And then he has these post-game comments about how you shouldn't be used to losing. I don't want, like, it's not a good environment to have a losing environment like that, to be okay with it. He's like, I'm never okay with losing. No shit, LeBron. None of them are okay with losing. That being said, LeBron has gotten a lot of flack over the past couple of weeks, even the past month. And is some of it his fault? Yeah, hell yeah, it's his fault. But now, it's crunch time, must-win games. That game against the Clippers, I watched that entire game. LeBron played defense, played well offensively, made the right basketball plays as he always does. None of his teammates could hit open shots. Lonzo's out with an injury. Kuzma went down with an injury, I think, in the third quarter. Brandon Ingram wasn't playing for whatever reason. The reports were he woke up with a sore shoulder, so he just didn't play. So it's crunch time, and arguably your three best players after LeBron are out. Rondo had to do he did as much as he could for a guy that is not a great three-point shooter or a great shooter in general. He did as much as he could. I think he had a triple-double. LeBron played his heart out. No one could hit open shots. They were running Rajon Rondo, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Reggie Bullock, LeBron James, and JaVale McGee for the last quarter and a half. That's the five that they were running the majority of the time. That's the lineup. That's not going to win you basketball games. I don't care who you are. I don't care what superstar you have on your team. Surrounding him with those guys, you're not going to win anything. So it's a rough look for LeBron. I said it weeks ago in my group chat when they lost to the Hawks. I was like, they're not making the playoffs. That was it. I put the dagger in them right there. They lost to the Hawks. I was like, that's it. They're not winning the playoffs. They're not making the playoffs. It's not happening. I really, really want my Sacramento Kings to make the playoffs, but right now they're sitting at the 9 seed with the Clippers, with the Spurs and the Clippers in front of them. And I don't know if the Clippers and Spurs are going to lose the games that they need to lose for the Kings to sneak into the playoffs. But mark my words, next year the Kings are in the playoffs, baby. It's going to happen. 100% guaranteed. You heard it here first. All right, let's get into this NFL Combine. The NFL Combine had some ridiculous standouts, some guys who rose their stocks, multiple picks. The number one guy in that discussion is Ole Miss wide receiver DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf came into the combine as a guy. He had a serious injury, and then he came in last year for Ole Miss and had pretty good numbers, but he comes into the combine and blows everybody away. First of all, there's pictures that come out of him, and I think it's his teammate, A.J. Brown. Pretty sure he also wide receiver for Ole Miss, guy going to the draft. Good wide receiver, probably be a second-round pick, I think, third-round, I don't know. I don't know much about A.J. Brown, to be honest. All but I do know is that him and D.K. Metcalf are enormous individuals, like just absolutely shredded out of their minds. It is unsettling. D.K. Metcalf especially, he looks like the Incredible Hulk. He's 6'3". I think he's 6'3 and 3/8". He measured in at 40 and a half inch vertical, put up 27 on the bench press, and ran a 4.33 40-yard dash. Absolutely ridiculous numbers for a guy who is 6'3 and 3/8", 200 and I think 35 pounds he weighed in at. He is an absolute monster. And there is 100%, without a doubt, a team who is going to draft him higher than he probably should just because his physical tools are godly. I mean, he is just an enormous individual. And I would love to have him on my team. Obviously, the Giants have the third overall pick, fourth overall pick. No. What do they have? Seventh overall pick, I think it is. So, I mean, I don't think he's going to fall. I think he'll get picked before then. I think he might have just taken his draft stock and propelled himself into the top five. He is enormous. And he posted great times, obviously. Two other guys that I think really propelled themselves up in the draft are two linebackers, Devin Bush from Michigan and Devin White from LSU. And I think they were both going to be first-round picks regardless, but I think they were looking in the later rounds in the 20 areas, but now they might go in the teens. So I think they definitely both raised their stocks up. Devin Bush coming in at 5'11", 234, ran a 4.43 40-yard dash with a 40.5-inch vertical, 124-inch broad jump, and put up 21 on the bench press. And Devin White from LSU coming in at 6 feet, 237, ran a 4.42 40-yard dash, which was the fastest amongst linebackers in this year's combine. And with a 39.5-inch vert, 118-inch broad jump, and 22 on the bench press. So gets one more press than Bush, less on the vert and broad, faster 40, coming in at an inch and 3 pounds heavier than Devin Bush. But both these guys, elite athletes at the linebacker position, they are reminiscent of a guy like Miles Jack. They have that kind of versatile potential in the NFL. So I feel like those guys definitely did nothing. Those three guys, especially in my mind, like what I was seeing trending on social media and throughout the combine, those three guys trended a lot. And I feel like they probably did themselves a very good service with their combine results. One other guy I want to talk about for the NFL, Kyler Murray. You know it already. I mean, he is a guy who now has the potential to be taken number one overall by the Arizona Cardinals. His storyline is concerning, to say the least. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to think of it. I really don't. I don't think he should go number one overall. I think any team that takes him number one overall will regret it, honestly. I don't think he's worth the number one overall pick. I don't know. And I don't know. And as I'm saying that, I'm looking at Matt Miller's new top five following the NFL Combine, and he has Kyler Murray going one to the Cardinals, Nick Bosa going two to the Niners, Quinnen Williams going to the Jets at 3. Josh Allen going 4 to the Raiders. And Rashawn Gary, who's also an edge rusher, going number 5 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Gary is from Michigan, if you haven't heard of him. So an interesting top 5 there. I don't think much has changed other than Nick Bosa not going number 1 overall. And I think Rashawn Gray slipping into the top 5 there is new as well. But, you know, Quinnen Williams and Nick Bosa and Josh Allen were definitely going to be 3 of the top 5 picks going into the draft. Combine didn't change any of that. Now, some pro football. Enough with the prospects and the college football. A couple pro football guys I want to talk about. The first being my Giants, Landon Collins. Sad to see him go. It's a little bit of a head-scratcher. I kind of understand why they did it, but I also don't. Landon Collins was up for... We could have hit him with the franchise tag. And Landon Collins, 3-time Pro Bowler, first-team All-Pro in 2016, defensive captain of the Giants. He's only missed a couple games, 5 games in 4 years, so very durable. He's 25 years old. He's played through injuries before, even through the Giants' garbage seasons that they've had the past couple years. I know the fan... I loved him as a player. I'm pretty sure the fan base as a whole really respected and loved Landon Collins. And for instead of franchise tagging Landon Collins for $11.15 million, they decided to let him walk in free agency. Now, I understand that the Giants are in like a semi-rebuild. You know, they have a bunch of young talent. They have Odell, Saquon, Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram. They got these guys on offense that can make for an elite offense. But at the same time, the O-line needs work. The defensive line needs work. The linebacking core needs work. The defensive backs need work. Everyone needs work except for our offensive position players. So from a money standpoint, I can understand that you don't want to pay a safety who, no disrespect to Landon Collins, is not very good at pass defense, excellent run stopper, excellent when he's just lurking in the box, but when he is designated for pass coverage, he struggles. So I see it from that point where you don't want to pay a guy, you don't even want to franchise tag that guy or pay him for a player like that, but at the same time, everything I just read off could definitely seem to override that. If the Giants tagged him, I would have been like, that's a good move. They let him go, and I still think it's kind of a good move. You have to allocate your money elsewhere. You can't afford to be paying him that kind of money. I guess, I don't know. I don't know if you can hear it, but I'm very conflicted. I'm very conflicted about this whole Landon Collins situation, but Dan Graziano, beat writer for the Giants, ESPN, says it's a brutally bad decision. And he put out this gem. Number of Giants draft picks by year who are still on the team. 2004, 1, Eli. 2007, 1. I don't know who that is. 2007. Who did they draft in 2007 that's still on the roster? Who did they draft in 2007 that's still on the roster? Zach Diassi? The long snapper, maybe? He's been there for a while. Anyway, 2008, 0, 2009, 0, 2010, 0, 2011, 0, 2012, 0, 2013, 0, 2014, 1, Odell. 2015, 0, 2016, 2, 2017, 4, 2018, 6. Was Odell 2014 or 2016? Pretty sure he was 2014. Let me look that up real quick. Yeah, 2014. Okay, I was right. Anyway, yeah, Giants, one of those teams... Yeah, I mean, it's one of those teams where a lot of guys are gone. I don't know. Dwayne Haskins reports that the Giants were very impressed with Dwayne Haskins and his combine performance and his interviews. There's also a list here of 8 players the Giants should take before Dwayne Haskins. So let's open this up. Devin White, linebacker, LSU. There's one. All right. I wouldn't mind that. Ed Oliver, defensive line from Houston. Now, Ed Oliver is a guy who was going into this year projected to be a top five pick. And he's had some injury issues his last year at Houston. He had a little spat with his head coach, so it was a little concerning. I'm not reading all of this, but those first two guys, if the Giants took them, I wouldn't be mad. I would not be mad because we do need a D lineman, a good D lineman, and a good linebacker. So either one of those picks, honestly, would not be mad at either one. That being said, I also wouldn't be mad with Dwayne Haskins. Originally, I wasn't sure. Didn't know if I really wanted him. But now, from the quotes pulled from the media, he seems like he really wants to play for the Giants. And I know he's a New Jersey kid. He grew up, rooting for the Giants. So, obviously, right there, he probably has tremendous respect and love for the franchise. I'm sure a whole lot of I'm sure the fan base's immediate reaction would be to accept him as Eli's replacement and to love him and to root for him. You know, he wouldn't be a guy that came in and be like, and we would, Giants fans would be like, screw this guy. That would never happen. Now, I just want to shift from the Giants and talk about a guy who, again, been in the headlines for all the wrong reasons the past week, and that's Antonio Brown. This guy just is saying all the wrong things. And I saw an NFL writer say it's hard to find. It's rare when you find a guy who was more mature at 22 than he was at 30. Talking about Antonio Brown. Which made me laugh because it's true. Antonio Brown was a guy who you didn't hear much about early in his career. Was a hard worker, and by no doubt, worked his way to the top to be the best wide receiver in the NFL. But now he's been there for a couple years as known as the best receiver in the NFL, and he has just seemingly caused nothing but arguments and problems. He's constantly called out Big Ben. He's constantly called out the Steelers organization. And the Rooneys, who are one of the most respected families in all of football. And it paints you in a bad light if you're being disrespectful to the Rooneys, of all people, who are known to be guys. They come to practice. They come to team meetings. They want to build a winning culture in Pittsburgh, which it is a winning culture. It hasn't been recently. But, I mean, for the past decade or so, it has been. The Steelers are a well-respected organization. They're right up there with the Giants. I mean, the Giants have sucked the past few years. We know this. And aside from the two Super Bowls and a couple seasons here and there, they generally haven't been great, just being real. But the Maras and the Giants organization as a whole is one of the most respected franchises in the NFL. So when you're going out of your way, pretty much. Antonio Brown is getting in on these interviews. He's going on The Shop, HBO's The Shop, with LeBron James. And he's venting and voicing his frustration and disrespecting these well-known owners who nobody has ever come out and spoken against and said that they treated them poorly or they're bad owners, blah, blah, blah. And I don't think Antonio Brown said that necessarily, but he is, the way he's handling himself is straight up disrespect to the Rooneys. He's disrespecting Ben Roethlisberger, who isn't all, I can imagine, is not all sunshine and rainbows either. But he's still a guy who's been there for almost two decades and a guy who has won two Super Bowls and a guy who is known as the guy. He is the leader of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you're disrespecting him as well. And you're, you know, going out on Twitter and you have these reports of domestic violence. Let's not forget about that. You go out on Twitter and you're already saying thank you for your time in Steelers Nation when you are in no position to actually get traded, even though I'm pretty sure I saw a report earlier about a possible trade being done by the end of the week. Steelers telling teams inquiring about possible Antonio Brown trade that a deal is likely by Friday, reports Adam Schefter. Okay, so possible deal being done. I think that's best for the Steelers, 100%. I mean, you're losing an uberly talented guy in Antonio Brown, but the headaches and the problems that he's caused off the field, in the locker room, inside the organization is just, it's laughable. It's unbelievable. And it's completely disrespectful. You need to get him out of the locker room. He's a cancer. And I think he'll be surprised. I'm very interested to see how he molds with other teams. Are players going to look down on him because of how he handled his situation in Pittsburgh? Are they not going to care? Are they just going to try and go out there and ball anyway? Will Antonio Brown continue to grace the headlines with saying and doing outrageously disrespectful shit? Who knows? He's going to be a storyline for the upcoming weeks, especially if he isn't dealt by Friday, as Adam Schefter reported. Real quick, and then we'll wrap up the show. I just want to get a little bit more NBA action in on NBA mock drafts. Zion Williamson, if it's not obvious by now, I mean, it is obvious, but if it's not obvious to you, here I am to tell you, Zion Williamson is going number one overall. 100%, no doubt about it. I don't think anyone's trying to argue it anymore. He is injured, however. He missed the Blue Devils played Wake Forest, I think it was Monday night. Zion Williamson did not play, so he missed his last home game at Duke. And for all people at Duke University, that probably sucks, because you definitely wanted to see him before he left. But that was his last game in Cameron. They have ACC tournament coming up. The ACC tournament coming up. I don't know who is number one in the ACC. I think it's probably Virginia. It is very obvious. Duke has struggled without Zion Williamson on the floor. They struggle. Cam Reddish doesn't have that killer mentality that R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson do. And R.J. Barrett, simply speaking, is not as dominant as Zion Williamson and is not as good as a shooter as Cam Reddish to lead a team. He can lead a team to carry a team to victories. Will he be? Most likely, yes. Most definitely he will become that kind of player. But right now in college, as an 18, 19-year-old kid, whatever he is not. But there are, now these mock drafts always come with disclaimers saying, besides Zion at number one, the board is fluid, meaning that the top five can be any mix-mosh of players. But right now, and with the lottery, you never know. The lottery can really just completely blow the hinges off of everything. You never really know with the lottery and what it's going to do. But right now, the picks go the Suns, the Knicks, the Cavs, the Bulls, and then the Hawks. Those are the top five teams. Now, again, the lottery can shake it up, and those might not be the top five picks in that order. Knicks can sneak into the one pick. Also, the season's not over. So when the season's over, we'll get a better idea of how the lottery might shape out. But right now, that's the order as far as worst records go. So right now, it's Zion Williamson to the Suns, RJ to the Knicks, Ja Morant to the Cavs, Darius Garland, point guard from Vanderbilt to the Bulls. So he's really shot up, apparently, according to this mock draft anyway. I don't know how I feel about Darius Garland going that high. And then five, Cam Reddish to the Hawks. Cam Reddish to the Hawks, I think, would be an excellent fit just because they have Trae Young, even though I don't think Trae Young's that good. He certainly has the potential, but I think just that there's so much overhype around him right now, and I can go another 20 minutes talking about Trae Young. But he had a really couple good games in a row, and people just go bananas over guys who can shoot from 35 feet out. They just go bananas. First Take on ESPN, fucking, they were talking about, is Trae Young the next Steph Curry? And then two nights later, he plays against the Heat, a game that I watched, by the way, because I wanted to see if he would go off again. And it was also at work. but he goes like 4 of 12 from the field, 0 of 5 from deep, 8 turnovers. Vince Carter was the only reason why, 42-year-old Vince Carter was the only reason why the Atlanta Hawks were in that game, because he scored 24 points and hit like 7 three-pointers. It was insane. Anyway, Cam Reddish I think would be a good fit for the Hawks. I really think the Suns need to get like the third overall pick or the second. If the Suns get the first overall pick, they're going to pick Zion. It's going to be a mistake. Because although Zion is phenomenal, he will rot away there in Phoenix just like Devin Booker is right now. I think Ja Morant would be the perfect fit for the Suns to try and really complete that young core that they have, like what Sacramento has. Sacramento stocked up on a lot of good guys, a couple of good draft picks. They won that trade with the Pelicans. They have a couple of good guys. Then they draft De'Aaron Fox at number 5, which, looking back on it, a steal. Probably should have been the second overall pick. So I think Ja Morant would be a good fit with Phoenix. That being said, if they have the number 1 overall pick, they probably will take Zion or they'll trade it. We'll see. The Knicks, honestly, if the Knicks get a top 3 pick, it's okay. Zion, RJ, top 2 pick. I don't want them to get the third pick. Top 2 pick. If they get Zion and RJ, I think it's all good in the hood. I still think that if they get Zion or RJ, regardless of which one they get, I think that that still attracts a lot of top free agents. I think that still attracts Kyrie. I think that still attracts Kevin Durant. Darius Garland, this is the first time I've seen Darius Garland in the top 5. That's pretty shocking that the Bulls, that this mock draft has the Bulls taking him number 4 overall. And then Cam Reddish. So yeah, the NBA draft is going to be very interesting. Speaking of which, the Knicks and the Suns play tonight at 9 o'clock. It's good. Let's go, Suns. Let's go, Suns. that is ironic that I didn't know they played tonight until I just saw it. But anyway, that is all I have to talk about today. So that will do it for this episode of From My Point of View. Again, thank you all for listening. We will be back next Wednesday, as per usual. And I hope everyone enjoys the rest of their week and their weekend. Talk to you guys soon. Touches, I got hot top socks, I got pop sucker diamonds, they no lap. I got hot yellow shit, suck my socks off. It's so crazy how this money start a lot of stuff. All this motherfucking money starting to double up. Fuck it, look at how my money starting to double up.